Welcome back, Motion students, to the Motion Students Podcast. I'm joined today with Mackenzie. We are super, super excited to be with you. Just a reminder for you, when you're searching this podcast, obviously you've found it, but I just want to remind you that you've got to put the S in students. So it's Motion Students Podcast. And go ahead and share this with other Motion students that you know have the ability to listen to podcasts in their study hall or in their STAR class or just time in general. The reason we're doing this podcast is because we want to remind you of the truth of the scripture, and we want you to be able to utilize this downtime that I feel like I remind myself all the time. I sat in study hall for an hour and 15 minutes and did nothing. I sat in STAR class for 45 minutes in the middle of my day and did nothing. And now I am taking, I know I'm a pastor, but I'm not playing the pastor card. I take that time, and in my day now, I sit and read and rest in scripture and read the Bible. And so I wish I had done that then. And so in saying that, today we are recapping what we talked about on Sunday, as this podcast is all for. It's just a simple podcast reminding you of scripture and basically giving you one Bible study a week to kind of just sit in class and sit in study hall, whatever you may be doing, and read some scripture. So I invite you to open the Bible if it's on your phone or if you actually have your tangible Bible. I invite you to do that now. I invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. You can go ahead and pause the podcast and open to that if you feel free, but I'm just going to jump into it. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this: "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." On Sunday, we spoke about this exact thing, and I think so often when we think about rest, you know, there's so many Christianese words. You know, we hear gospel, and then sometimes we think of Bible, but when we hear of Holy Spirit, sometimes we think of this angelic ghost type thing. Rest really doesn't fall in the Christianese language. When you think of rest, most everybody in America, in the world, when they hear rest, they think, okay, I'm going to go get some sleep, or I'm going to take a break, or I'm going to lay my head down and close my eyes for a little bit. And rest is usually secluded from doing anything, right? I mean, rest is the epitome of doing nothing. And so what I want us to realize in the scripture, in Matthew, they're not asking us to do nothing. In Matthew, they're not asking us to go home and go to bed or at least get away from everybody. They're actually asking you to actively rest. When it says, come to me, when Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, that is inherently an action, right? And so we want to explain to you right now that this rest that we speak of is really good. It's worth it, but it is not checking out. It's not taking a step back. It's not saying I'm going to go do something else where I don't have to deal with people or deal with, you know, pressures of life or anything like that. What he's saying is actively come towards me. He says come. And it's our job to go and abide in him. And we're going to kind of display what that looks like for the Christian. But I'm going to give the entire podcast away right now, that resting in Christ looks like abiding in him. And what does the word abide mean? If we don't know what that means, it means to literally be in Christ, not to study Christ or look at Christ or turn your eyes, but to be in Christ, to be encapsulated with Christ. And obviously through the Holy Spirit, we have that opportunity, that personal relationship with Jesus, to be saturated in scripture. It's like you're diving headfirst into a pool. When you dive headfirst into the pool, it's not like you're in the shower and you're getting drops of water. You're literally drowned in it. You are literally engulfed in it. And so when it says rest, when it says, take my yoke upon you, Which basically he says, take my you take my yoke, I'll take your burden. He says, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When it says in Scripture that God has a good plan for you, this is what he's saying. Good doesn't always mean easy. Good doesn't mean you will be with, without suffering. Good does not mean you will be without labor sometimes or work at times, but it does say that it will be good and that rest in Christ is different than what we see of just a normal kind of rest. Now, the outcome is the same, and this is what I want you to think. What happens, Mackenzie, when you go to bed, right? You wake up energized. You wake up with an energy that you didn't have before. That's the whole purpose of rest, right? Mm-hmm. It literally, sleep is like the ultimate reminder that we need to rest. This, in the same way, when we are without energy, when we have come to the end of ourselves, when our salvation has become about Mackenzie or become about Luke and how hard I'm working to be a good Christian or how much I need to do or fill my every day with a Christian event so I'm a good Christian, all of a sudden I'm going to run out of gas because it's about me, 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 me. I literally remember in high school having the thought process of I need to, if I could possibly fill my entire week, Monday through Sunday, and every day I have a Christian type event. So if it's a Bible study, if it's you know, Sunday night at Motion or Sunday morning at church or a worship night on Saturday night that we and my buddies kind of created, or if it's going to breakfast with an individual and kind of preaching the gospel to them, I thought that if I could create, you know, an event, if you will, every single day of the week, then I will be a good Christian. And this is saying the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. This is saying the exact opposite. It said, please rest in me. Let me take your burden. Abide in the truths of Scripture. And so, Mackenzie, the first question that I ask you today is this question. How do you rest in Christ? What does it look like for Mackenzie Denny to rest in Christ?
I think rest for me and probably for a lot of people kind of translates to like a security or confidence. And so, for me, the times that I felt like most rested, most at peace is when I like am just fully submerged in who Christ says I am. And so like that sometimes for me means reading the word, and I'll just sit and read and pray that the Lord would just meet me in the pages of the Bible and fill me with peace and a rest that comes from him. But I don't always understand it from just reading the Bible. So reading books about that topic or something like that, or just a lot of time from music is when I feel that most and when I find most confidence in Christ and who he says I am and what he's done for me and just submerging in the truth that comes from the songs or the lyrics or whatever that I know to be true, and I know what Christ has done for me. And so I think that's when I feel most confident, which is rested.
I always think about when I think about rest, sometimes believers get too far removed from their, let's say, moment of salvation. You know, I'm not in love with the term accepting Christ into my life. Really, we're really just realizing what God has already done. But we get so far removed from that moment that we've forgotten the joy of salvation. We forgot the joy of justification. Just a couple weeks ago on this podcast, we talked about the sanctification process, which the sanctification process is the process of us growing to be more like Christ. Well, the justification process is God saying you are justified, that you are made righteous in the sight of me because of what I've done for you. If there's anything we need to say on this podcast that's of most importance about rest, it's that God has told Mackenzie and told Luke through his scripture, or told you, whoever's listening, through the scripture, that you are a son or a daughter of the one true king. That's your title, right? That's your status. We don't get to, you know, earn that. We don't get to make our own status, but God has literally adopted us. He says, and it's funny because, not to go on a tangent, but when he was using the word adopted, it was in the he was in the Roman Empire, and so in the Roman Empire, if you had a a biological son or a biological daughter, which means obviously the more natural way. So like a husband and a wife came together and they had a kid, right? I don't need to give you the biology. They're, half of them are sitting in biology class right now. No, but yeah, the birds and the bees. When you had a biological son or a daughter, you could technically legislation it said that you could technically disown them if they did something wrong. If they did something that was worthy of being disowned, you could actually change their you could through legislation, through law, you could change their last name and cast them out of your house. But if you had adopted someone at any time, if you had adopted a son or adopted a daughter, it was illegal to reject them. And so I think in this moment, what he's saying is when we experience Christ for the first time, when we are justified by Christ, when we are made righteous by what he did on the cross, there is no turning back from that. Mm-hmm. There is no, he's not looking down at Mackenzie or Luke and saying, okay, now that I've adopted you as sons and daughters, go and do. Mm-hmm. What he's saying is, now that I have adopted you as sons and daughters, go and be. We are to be, we are the sons and daughters of Christ. And we get to rest in that fact. We don't get to earn it. We don't get to make it, something that is not, but we get to just rest in that fact. When we talk about rest, we talk about grace, right? In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, if you want to go ahead and turn there for the listeners, if you want to pause and go to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and then just play it back, I'm going to go ahead and dive into it right now. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I want to focus on two main things. It says in verse 8, "And this is not your own doing." Verse 9 says, "Not a result of works." And then in verse 10, it says, "Created in Christ Jesus for good works." So you could kind of get confused if you look at it this way, because it says, but it's not for works, but we're created in Jesus Christ for good works. Mm-hmm. See, we have to separate the two. We don't get to boast in Christ because of our works, but we get to live out our status as Christ because God has literally planned good works for us. So when we live out our status, when we rest in our status, the result of that is the Holy Spirit manifesting itself in us. And ultimately, we might just do good works because of our status in Christ, of who we are. If we're made new, we begin to look more and more like Christ. So if the justification process is being made right, the sanctification process is becoming more like Jesus. And so the resting aspect of justification is that we rest in our status. And the resting aspect of sanctification is that we become more like Christ. And so if the good works are our own, if we make these good works about Mackenzie or about Luke, we've missed it. Mm-hmm. If we make the good works, which comes from our justification, which comes from our status, there is no good works outside of the truths of Scripture. There's the New Testament says there's no good works outside of Jesus Christ. So it's only possible to do good works in Christ, and it's only possible to have our status as sons and daughters through Christ. Literally, we get to rest in the fact that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that he's adopted us as his own, and that it is by grace through faith alone. It is by grace through faith alone. That is the one of the greatest truths of Scripture. Because if it was up to us, we'd be in trouble. If it was up to Mackenzie or Luke or you, we would be in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so my next question for you, Mackenzie, is now you've answered how do you rest in Christ. When have you blatantly not rested? When has there been a rebellious stage for you, or maybe that you weren't reminded of Scripture in your life?
I think that I am just coming out of a season like that.
Okay.
Probably partially still in it. but it was just a season where, like, life was just crazy and hard and stressful. And so instead of, like, sitting down with my Bible or, like, listening to music that spoke truth to me and over me, I would sit and scroll through my phone or do things that just weren't, like, it just wasn't me resting. And so because of that, I think that I haven't, like, I don't know that I'm able to see as clearly the good works that Christ is doing through me. And so that is just now coming partially to an end, I think. I'm being reminded to sit and rest, but that is a hard, hard season. And it's hard to even notice when you're not resting.
Yeah. Pastor Scott said it best one time on a Sunday morning. When you're in the storm, you can't see outside of it, right? But the person who's outside of the storm can look into the storm and see, hey, there's a gust coming from the west. You need to get out of there. But you can't see that in the storm because it's foggy. It's unclear. And so, Mackenzie, I appreciate your kind of your vulnerability, because I think it's so often, well, those of you that work at a church, we just sit in the corner and we read our Bibles all day and we worship God. And then you, as a staff, we come together and hold hands in prayer. Like, it's just not how it goes. Like, if anything, you know, we could be under attack more because of our position as a believer in Jesus and as a staff member on a church. But yeah, I think I've experienced that in ebbs and flows in my life, and multiple times where the only way, and we're going to get to this, so I don't want to allude too much, but the only way I could really get out of my funk, if you will, was another believer, another brother or sister kind of helping me guide through that time. Which has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And if as adopted heirs of Christ, we are to look out for one another. And that leads me to my last kind of scripture. So I'm going to be in Matthew 26 through 29. If you want to go ahead and turn there, I'm going to jump right into it. This is the institution of the Lord's Supper. So this should sound rather familiar. It says this in 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which I poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Verse 29, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What he says here is, take and eat of my body and take and drink of my blood. And so what this is obviously communion, right? So here at Stones, other churches do it differently, but once a month we take communion as a church wide. And so on Sunday mornings. And so the reason we do this is because it's a symbolic understanding and reminder of the who Jesus said he was. And literally, the reason that Jesus gave us communion was to be reminded to rest in him. I think so often in the pressures of life, but even the distractions of life in general, that makes it a little bit more harder to rest in Christ. And Mackenzie, as you were kind of alluding to, like, our phones, our friends, our school, our game, our sport, whatever it may be, those things are not bad. But when they become our God, or they become first or second or third in priority above God, we have a harder time resting in that. But we rest in our status as an athlete. We rest in our status as a teacher. We rest in our status as a student. We rest in our status as a cheerleader, as a band member, whatever it may be. The ultimate status that we have is in Christ as sons and daughters. And so the reason that Jesus displayed communion in this way, it was literally that he was saying, when you are reminded of this, when you take and eat of the unleavened bread, and when you drink, you know, of the grape juice here at Stones, but when you drink that, be reminded of my what I did on the cross. Rest in the scripture. And students, what I want you to know today is that it's okay to just marinate, just sit. And that doesn't mean You know, because all of a sudden when we start speaking about rest, we start getting all anxious because we got to do something. We got to go somewhere. We got to be something. We got to do better. We got to be this great person. We got to put on this show or put on a mask for somebody else. When in reality, Jesus is just saying, be who I said you are. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that song that says, you are who I say you are, right? Or I am who you say I am. Right. Yeah. He says, the song says, I am who you talking about, you know what I mean? But literally that's what it means to rest in the scriptures. It is by grace through faith alone. So there is not by our works. We have been given the title of sons and daughters. In Matthew 11, it says to rest in the truth of the scripture. My yoke is light and I want to take that from you. And so, last question for you, Mackenzie. How do you remind yourself to abide? We kind of alluded to this just a little bit earlier about brothers and sisters and Christ kind of helping us along the way. But if you know what it means to rest for you, and you know there's kind of certain ticks that kind of help you realign and get back into the rest, and you know kind of there's times you blatantly kind of not rested, and although it may be hard to realize it on the outside, looking in, you can see that you haven't rested. So if that's true and you know those two, the dichotomy of what it looks like to rest and what it looks like to blatantly not rest, what does it look like for you to remind yourself to rest?
A lot of times I'll just be thinking about like the seasons of my life where I was resting and like what was coming out of that and what just the ways that I could see God working then and there. And so I think I'm just reminded of the promises of God and what he says he will do when I rest. Mm. And so a lot of times I have to not make it a chore, but like put some structure behind everything that I'm doing. So I'll like set a time to sit and read my Bible. And sometimes I don't want to, but it becomes a habit again. And then it becomes like I'm seeing the goodness of God in the scripture. And so then I'm able to see it around me more, and it just continues to grow and grow and grow because I find that rest, and so then it becomes like I just can't get enough of the scripture, and then I can't get enough of the goodness of God around me, and I'm overwhelmed by all of that. And so I think for me it is just kind of that structure, but it also is just like looking back and thinking what he has done before and wanting that again. It's like I just crave that again. So I think that drives my desire to sit in the word and to rest in Christ.
For sure that's really good. You ever kind of you're reading scripture and you get so excited about something that it says that you just can't tell somebody? You know, like that happens to me often. It happened to the disciples when the law said the only thing you need to do is to stop telling people about Jesus. They just said we can't. And so they understood what it was like to just long after Jesus. And what you're explaining, Mackenzie, is like when you get back into the word, when you remind yourself to rest, when you start actively resting in Christ, you're reminded of how good this is. That this, we did a sermon series just recently called The Good Life. And the good life is not being a straight A student. The good life is not being the best athlete. The good life is understanding your status and living it out. That is the good life. And students, what I want you to know today is that it truly is good. This isn't just a fake thing where we want to kind of hook, line, and sinker you. This is truly joy. This is truly peace. And so whatever you've experienced joy or peace elsewhere, that's fake. It's a mockery of what God actually has for us. And so rest in the fact that he loves you, that God is there for you, that he wants to take your burdens and he wants to make them light, and that you can rest in your status as sons and daughters of the one true King. And you won't be perfect. You won't be the poster child for Christian bookstore, but you don't need to be. That's what the Lord says. You don't need to be, right? And so let Jesus just encapsulate your thoughts and your mind and go and tell others about him, because it's pretty much impossible not to. Mackenzie, I appreciate you coming on and kind of just sharing some wisdom for our students. Students, I hope you find this, you know, helpful. I pray that you kind of pass this along to friends of the Motion community, but maybe also friends that don't, that just are anxious and depressed or whatever it may be, that they need to kind of be turned in a direction of where can I find any kind of rest? Where can I find any kind of joy? And I promise you, if they abide in Jesus, they'll find that rest. Mm-hmm. And so, Mackenzie, would you do the honor of praying for our students as we conclude the podcast?
Yeah. Most High God, we're just overwhelmed and humbled by who you call us, Lord, and what you have done for us. And so right now I just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, Lord, and that you would help us to find rest in you, God. And you call us by name, and you want us, and you want a relationship with us, God. And so when you're trying to get our attention, Lord, I just pray that we listen and we just submerge ourselves in you, God, and find rest there. And because of that, Lord, I just pray that we see your goodness and your glory around us, God, and that there's an excitement in us that can't be contained. And we just go and we tell, Lord, and we extend your kingdom all around us. Jesus, I love you, and it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Students, you are loved. Go in peace.